welcome to a special MSF Frontline Reports podcast. Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, is an independent medical humanitarian aid organization. I'm Avril Benoit. In this edition, reports from the 17th International AIDS Conference in Mexico City. This August, MSF presented medical data from its HIV/AIDS treatment programs and discussed challenges to providing the best care. A key issue is increasing the number of children on treatment for HIV/AIDS.
Around 50% of the children who are infected with HIV will die within 2 years of life.
But first, the number of people receiving life-extending antiretrovirals, or ARVs, in sub-Saharan Africa has grown from 100,000 to more than 2 million in just 4 years. But 70% of people living with HIV are still without treatment. The small healthcare workforce is overwhelmed and underpaid. They're leaving their own countries where they're most urgently needed. Doctors, nurses, and others who have witnessed this emergency firsthand spoke at an MSF panel discussion. Melissa Pratt has the story.
After 4 days of discussions, some of which touched on the core problem of the lack of qualified health professionals in sub-Saharan Africa, MSF and other organizations held a rally inside the Mexico City Conference facility. One nurse spoke to the dire situation of nurses throughout the region.
We need to improve nurses' salaries now!
Now!
We need to improve better conditions where nurses are working now!
Now!
We need to have a policy for recruiting and retaining nurses now!
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 Like Malawi, a nation with two doctors for every 100,000 people, many countries in sub-Saharan Africa have switched to nurse-based health care by necessity, but low salaries, poor working conditions, and extremely high caseloads have led to a nurse exodus. They're leaving the public sector and leaving their home countries.
Nurses are overworked and have very low morale.
Nurse Mapumelelo Montagan spoke about the high workloads placed on many health workers.
As the only nurse here, I have to do work for at least 4 nurses. I take blood samples, sputum, do both antenatal and postnatal cases, and do curative care for general patients, baby deliveries. If I have to go somewhere, the clinic remains closed. Most nurses have left for UK or South Africa. If I was younger, I would also have gone by now. That is the frustrated nurse from Lesotho.
A lack of resources, from electricity to diagnostic equipment, is another reason health workers are leaving in droves. Paul Kasson-Komona, a healthcare activist from Zambia, spoke about what he has seen.
I've seen in my eyes a doctor crying because a patient is dead. And the doctor is saying, I know I was going to save this patient if I had this particular diagnostic in this hospital. So other than the money, which is less, yes, I know in Zimbabwe a nurse is getting a salary that can only buy 4 loaves of bread. Apart from that, the environment is not helpful. It's frustrating.
But those who pay the biggest price for the healthcare worker shortage are the patients, those who literally die waiting to receive treatment. As MSF Dr. Myth Phillips pointed out, countries with the highest HIV prevalence also have the lowest number of health workers. These countries often rely on money from donors whose rules for using the funds have been prohibitively inflexible.
Ministry of Finance or institutions, international institutions like the IMF, they continue to say that you can only spend so much money on health workers on health workforce as you have available domestically. So it means that if you you are a low income country, you might not be able to spend money on health workforce according to your needs. For us, that's very difficult as doctors to see that the number of health workers will be defined by the possibility for economic growth and not on the needs of population and patients.
And international donors often don't want to pay recurrent costs, like salaries, for staff. They prefer to leave that responsibility to the state. But if donors are willing to pay for ARVs, which require a lifetime of treatment, it seems contradictory not to pay for staff to administer that treatment. While trying to persuade donors and governments to change their policies, there's a reality on the ground to cope with. So MSF has begun training non-medical lay counselors to take over a variety of tasks from nurses. That way, nurses have more time to put more people on ARV treatment. Lay counselors are most often people living with HIV who are selected for the job by their communities. Dr. Philo Lathola, an HIV-TB specialist for MSF in Lesotho, explained what lay counselors do and how they've had a positive impact.
The role of the lay counselors include general clinic support, such as health talks, weighing of patients, HIV testing and counseling, ad preparation and adherence counseling, TB education and adherence counseling, case management, screening of, so there's a higher cadre of lay counselors who have been trained to do ARV refill for stable patients on ARVs who are more than 12 months on ARVs. This graph just shows the impact that incorporating lay counselors in the program has had. In May, we were testing about 200 people per month, and the numbers tripled in June when lay counselors were introduced. Then after that, they kind of stabilized and went down, and that was because the workload went up and the lay counselors were now not only doing HIV testing but adherence counseling and other duties. Then in August, we again employed more lay care workers, and you can see again the numbers went up of the people who were tested in September.
Positive steps like this are being made in the battle to reach the millions who still need ARVs. But these are small steps. The message in Mexico was that fundamental changes in policy and the political will to implement them will be essential to filling these deadly gaps.
That report from MSF's Melissa Pratt. You can read more about the health worker shortage and see videos and photos from the rally by going to doctorswithoutborders.org. And now, treating children with HIV is not only a fight against AIDS, it's also a fight against time. Early diagnosis and treatment are imperative to their survival. But as doctors and staff from MSF's HIV projects explained, there are numerous challenges in saving these young lives. Megan McKenna has this report from the International AIDS Conference.
Of the 140,000 people around the world MSF is treating with antiretroviral therapy, or ARVs, 10,000 of them are children under 15 years old. Despite numerous challenges, MSF has been able to treat many of them successfully. Unfortunately, children younger than 12 months old were much less likely to survive. To prevent unnecessary deaths, more medicines adapted for children are urgently needed. Tools to help diagnose HIV in babies and treatment strategies tailored for the young are also vital. Dr. Fernando Pereno is a pediatrician for MSF who has worked in Zimbabwe, where MSF is treating more than 1,700 children with ARVs.
Around 50% of the children who are infected with HIV will die within 2 years of life. That means that we need to have a test in place to diagnose the infection very early. Now there is an universal agreement that we can treat infants diagnosed with virological tests at 6 weeks of life. And this will save these 50% of deaths in pediatric HIV. So what we also must push forward is to have these tests, which are called PCR, our biological test, to have these tests in place in our settings in rural Africa.
Diagnosis is just the first challenge. Not enough pediatric formulations of ARVs exist. Even fewer are available for those living in developing countries. Research into pediatric formulations for children in areas with limited resources, like clean water, is not a priority for pharmaceutical companies. This is because very few children in developing countries are born with HIV, says Karen Day, an MSF pharmacist coordinator.
There's 22 antiretrovirals on the market. 14 of these are approved for use in children, and 13 have pediatric formulations. The majority of the newly approved antiretrovirals have no safety data either available for children. Of the formulations that are available, many are not adapted for use in resource-limited settings. What I mean by this is majority are in a liquid formulation, which has difficulty in accuracy of dosing, are quite unpalatable, and have a large storage area. Some are supplied as a powder, which requires reconstitution, assuming we have access to clean, safe water, or they may require refrigeration.
But finding all the children and adolescents who need treatment is difficult. MSF's Rwanda program knows firsthand the challenges of trying to reach more children with ARVs. Dr. Johan von Greensven, who worked in MSF's Rwanda program, says that out of 3,000 patients in ARV treatment in Rwanda, only 350 are children.
So one of the strategies we used to increase the number of children on treatment was to systematically propose testing to all the parents we had in the program. But this was more easy said than done. We soon noticed there was a certain reluctance. From nurses, social assistants, we heard that they actually feared the result. They feared a positive result, stating that they didn't feel they had the skills to communicate about HIV towards children. Also, some parents expressed fear, that, stating also that they had difficulty coping if the result would be positive. And this is where we've seen the importance of providing training for nurses, social assistants in disclosure, and providing support for the parents towards testing of the children. Once tested, we observed that careful disclosure has been very important, so HIV can be understood by the children. This helps to make sure that there is an open communication between the children and the parents, which is a very important factor to improve adherence to therapy. One of the things we learned in the program is that to have a careful and adequate disclosure to children, you need child-adapted tools. Tools that make HIV understandable for children and that uses the language of children.
Ongoing support for young people, particularly as they grow into adolescence, is also very important. Programs must address the questions and specific issues adolescents with HIV face.
The program of Rwanda, we've seen that organization of support groups for children and for adults has been very important to achieve that. This allowed for children to express their concerns, their questions, and to also get some answers on these and go to a positive living with HIV.
MSF has had the most success in its pediatric treatment when programs incorporate a comprehensive approach that includes a wide range of support. MSF's Dr. Helena Huerga, who has run a successful program in Homa Bay, Kenya, explains.
To take good care of children is not only a matter of delivering or supplying ARVs. It's a whole integrated program. It should be a global approach, which means integrating not only clinical care, but also biological follow-up and also patient support, psychological support, nutritional support when it's needed, counseling, etc. So that means that we cannot just prescribe ARVs. This is not enough. The other important point and a specific point to the children care is that it has to be done from a family approach. That means that the child and the infant or the child and the mother should be seen in the same consultation in the same day and by the same clinician. So it does not, the mother or does not need to come several times to the clinic for her care and then for her child care.
MSF will continue to do all it can to identify and treat children with HIV. MSF will urge pharmaceutical companies to develop more child-friendly medicines, diagnostics, and treatment strategies. Children living with HIV deserve fair treatment. MSF will do all it can to make sure they get it.
That was Megan McKenna. You can find speeches, presentations, and interviews on pediatric AIDS from the International AIDS Conference by going to doctorswithoutborders.org. Thank you for listening to this special MSF Frontline Reports podcast. Médecins Sans Frontières, or MSF, is an independent medical humanitarian aid organization that delivers emergency assistance to people affected by wars, epidemics, and natural or man-made disasters in more than 60 countries around the world. For more information about these stories, as well as updates on other underreported humanitarian emergencies, please visit our websites at doctorswithoutborders.org or msf.org.